So my guest today is Dan Handelman with Portland Peace and Justice Works, Portland Cop Watch. Dan, thanks for joining me today.
Sure, Desiree.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking today about 100 pages of documents that were released just on Friday and that are coming up for potentially a vote this coming Thursday at the City Council meeting at 3 p.m. And these documents are, there's about 100 pages of them, and they have pretty material bearing on the implementation of the settlement agreement that dates back to 2012, mm-hmm. following the shooting of Aaron Campbell, in which the Justice Department began investigating the Portland police and their excessive use of force, and ultimately concluded that that excessive use of force was directed primarily at people with mental health issues. So we have three different concerns that you're voicing with these documents, Dan, and you've had a very short period of time in which to carefully review these. The AMA, the Albany Ministerial Coalition, has had an emergency meeting to also prepare their response, and we're basically calling on the public to please show up for this hearing. And can you tell us about what we should be most concerned about?
Well, I guess there's the two main concerns are the process by which this is happening, which, as you mentioned, is very, very fast and not public. They didn't really develop these proposals in public at all, and the substance of the proposals, which are essentially four pieces. And the four pieces are the changes to the settlement agreement itself, one of which is detailed in a separate document, a body to replace what was called the Community Oversight Advisory Board, that the settlement agreement created a 15-member community group that was supposed to assess the implementation of the agreement. The city's proposing to replace that with what they're calling the Portland Commission on community-engaged policing, which is not going to have any oversight into the implementation of the agreement. So that's a very big concern.
So what function will it serve?
I'll tell you in a second. I just want to get through the four pieces that are coming up. The other two pieces are the 48-hour rule, which we talked about a while ago, you and I, where we finally got rid of a thing in the police union contract, police association contract, that they said they have to wait 48 hours before they are interviewed after a shooting. And now, unless something changes, there will be waiting until after the grand jury hearing to have that interview. And the fourth piece, it has to do with the independent police review, our oversight system. It's not as huge of a concern, but it's just something to be looking at. So how are they changing what the Community Oversight Advisory Board did in terms of what the PCCEP is supposed to do? They have removed a sentence in the original settlement agreement and in the description of what the board does that said, number one, independently assessed the implementation of the agreement. That sentence is being struck from the documents.
And that was its primary function.
That was, well, it was one of its main functions. It has always been in the agreement, and we, Cop Watch and the AMA Coalition, nobody's ever argued that they're not supposed to also help with some kind of community engagement plan for the police. However, the city is, and the DOJ, since they're together, they wrote this plan together, are emphasizing that is the main thing they want this group to do, is do a community engagement plan, which to us always looks like public relations, where the police are coming and saying, oh, look at all these friendly programs we have where we're helping, you know, feed people who are hungry and, you know, helping people in the LGBTQ community who are part of the police bureau, and which is all good things. I don't want to stop the police from doing those good things, but that doesn't make up for the brutality and the corruption and the racism that we've been trying to eliminate for the years. And that's what the promise of the DOJ agreement was, that we're going to have a way to get rid of that. And if all we focus on is that kind of community relations, that we're not going to be getting rid of the corruption, brutality, and race. Specific things that are happening with the PCCEP is that the original board, the 15-member board, was selected by each city council member had a representative. So that made up the 5 out of 15. And then the other 10 were chosen by community members, or screened by community members anyway. This one's going to have 5 to 9 members, all appointed by the mayor. So basically cutting out the community's ability to help staff the board in the first place, and by having only 5 to 9 members instead of 15, it's never going to be able to represent the diversity of our community. Furthermore, in terms of the oversight, such as it is, of the agreement, they're just basically making it optional for this board to hear community concerns about the compliance officer's reports that say this is how much the city has complied, this is how much they haven't complied, instead of the board being able to make recommendations themselves. They're saying they're going to take recommendations that come from the community. And my experience with this kind of board is they're never going to pass those recommendations on directly to the city
Can you tell us about the second category and the impact on the independent police review process?
Well, the independent police review, this is a piece. We had some hint. The AMA Coalition, it has been stated publicly in these documents that the AMA Coalition was involved in some mediation sessions that were confidential. So I can't really say what was the substance of what was in those mediation sessions, but I can say that we were handed some of these documents on July 14, which is about 2 weeks before the rest of the documents came out, and they were in draft form. So what was published on Friday, July 28, is not the same thing as what the AMA Coalition looked at in the first place. So all this hundreds of pages of documents, we had to look at with fresh eyes to see what they were doing. So the IPR piece of it, we didn't know anything about it until it was introduced on Friday. And basically it's saying that when IPR does an investigation into – and the IPR is the place where you file your complaints. One out of every 20 investigations that get done is done by them. The rest of them are all done by police internal affairs. But when they do an investigation, instead of just saying here's the evidence and here's what the witnesses said, they also say – and we think the officer is in or out of policy, or there's not enough evidence to prove that one way or another. That's new. And the only thing we're really concerned about that might hamstring the citizen review committee, the citizen component of the IPR that hears appeals, where they're probably going to say, well, we for years we've been trying to get it so instead of being deferential about their findings, that to have to be deferential to the bureau commander, that they should be able to make their own finding based on the preponderance of the evidence, they're probably going to say, well, the IPR director is looking at it, and internal affairs is looking at it, and the commander is looking at it, so why should we give them another bite at the apple? It's because no community members have looked at it yet. That's why. To be fair, they also are changing the settlement agreement, so the CRC doesn't have to be forced to try to hold their hearings 21 days after the appeal is filed anymore. That was a big deal. We asked for that in 2012 when the settlement agreement was written, and it's finally being changed. So that is something that we can be thankful for of all these things. But the other main component, which is there's a piece of this embedded in the new settlement agreement and a separate piece that the mayor talked about a week ago, where he to deal with this 48-hour rule that we talked about. So we finally got that 48-hour rule out of the police association contract last fall. With a lot of consternation, there were police pepper spraying people in the face because people were so upset that all they did was pull this 48-hour rule out, and they didn't add any other accountability measures into that contract.
So can you provide a little more context on what the 48-hour rule is?
Right. So it used to be that when an officer was involved in a shooting, that if they were going to be called in by internal affairs for a administrative interview, they couldn't do that without giving 48 hours notice minimum, 2 days. And the police association argues there's science that says, oh, you can't remember very well the first 2 days. We have to have this. It's very crucial. And everybody else says that science is bogus.
If it's not bogus, then why not extend that to ordinary Joe citizen,
right,
resident?
Right. Just to be clear, a Joe resident, when they're called in for an interview after they murder somebody, has the Fifth Amendment right to say, I don't have to talk to you. And then, you can talk to my lawyer. And everybody should know that right and exert that right. And the police can do that. With the criminal investigation, we don't say they should be forced to talk to the criminal investigators. But when the administrative investigators come in and say, did you violate policy, they can say, you have to answer my questions or you're fired. The problem is that if you use that compelled testimony against them in a court to prosecute them, then you violated their constitutional right. So there's a way to wall off these investigations, and every outside consultant has come in to look at our system, has said, you have a way that you can wall this off. That's what the DOJ promised us as well when they came to town. We're going to find a way to wall this off and do these investigations at the same time so that the criminal investigators get up, walk out of the room, and the administrative people say, did you violate our policies? You have to answer my questions or else you're fired. Now they're saying the DA thinks that under Oregon law, you have to give the officers immunity or else you can't compel them to testify even to the administrative investigators at all until the grand jury is finished. And we all think that's bogus. And so the mayor said, okay, a policy that the police bureau released on July 4th weekend and only gave us two weeks to respond to that 24-page document. Again, we talked about this earlier. And there was a lot of hubbub around that, thanks to KBOO and other media outlets carrying the story. He said, okay, I'm going to make an alternate plan to what the Bureau was proposing to wait till the end of the DA thing and say, we are going to compel these officers to testify within 48 hours, but we're going to run it up past the judge first. And that's a very cowardly, politically cowardly way to do it, because what he should do is say, that's our policy, and if they want to challenge it, they can take us to court. Because a judge might not ever make a ruling on this, you know, without an actual plaintiff, without somebody being affected by the case. They can't necessarily judge on whether the law is constitutional or not. So I think that the mayor needs to be pushed to put his extra policy in place. And plus, in the way he wrote it, it says that that will happen within 48 hours. And we at the community say that has to happen in 24 hours, not 48 hours. Backing up and to say what we need to do. First of all, tell City Council we need more time. Coming in with paperwork on a Friday that we have to talk about on the next Thursday of this significance and this volume is too much. Second of all, if they do go through and have the hearing, number one, we want the community engage, whatever it's called, the new COAB, the new board, to have the ability to oversee the implementation of the agreement. It doesn't mean that they get to overrule the DOJ. It just means the community has to have a voice in this process. Number three, the other changes to the settlement agreement need to be run by the community. And number four, the 48-hour rule has to be implemented. The non-48-hour rule has to be implemented right away, where officers get called in, compelled to testify to internal affairs right away, and 24 hours, within 24 hours, not 48 hours. As I said, this board is only going to have 5 to 9 people. They're all going to be appointed by the mayor. There's no community involvement in appointing the membership, and it's optional for them to have any involvement in the review of the implementation of the agreement instead of that being one of their main charges. And that's very crucial. This is not the board we were promised.
Okay. And so people should also be voicing concerns about the process through which these documents are being released and the incredibly quick turnaround time for having potentially a city council vote on these. This window of time just does not allow the public to review these documents and have a window of time in which to respond to them.
Right. And so the process by which we discovered the new 48-hour rule, where the DA said you have to wait till the end of the grand jury, had to do with them releasing their directives. And with those, we had 2 weeks to respond to them. And we asked the mayor and the chief for more time to respond because that was a very crucial policy. And they said, we can't do that because we have to get this in place so we can start training on it in the fall. So it's my understanding that they're trying to get this rammed through on Thursday because they want to be able to train the officers in the fall. And then Judge Simon wants to hear what's going on with the status of the case in, I think it's going to be in November now, according to the documents. I think November 16 is the day they're asking for. And they want to have it all in place so that he can say, oh, you've now complied with the settlement agreement. I don't think that's a reason to hurry it up. You know, we want to get it right. We don't want to just do it fast. And if they're doing it to try to build community trust, the irony is they're trying to create this body that's going to build community trust by doing something that is smashing that trust to the ground. And moreover, I forgot to say, the new board, the replacement with the COAB, is going to have most of its meetings not be in public. So that, and which again just sort of underscores the way that they're doing business. They want to do as much talking as they can without anybody else there, and then just throw it out and say, this is it.
Take so what it, is the it. Format for the meetings? Is it just
we don't
closed
know.
Door?
They say they're going to be quarterly public town halls and meetings twice a month that are not public, which means even if you consider one of those two meetings will be the quarterly town hall, it means that out of 24 meetings a year, only 4 of them would be public.
Okay.
And that's just that's not acceptable.
Okay. So again, the city council hearing is this coming Thursday.
So one thing that people should be aware of is if you read the documentation that they published, the city reveals stuff about this mediation process that was going on that had to do with this, the settlement agreement. And they had filed a complaint about Judge Simon holding more than one status conference per year, they were trying to get him removed from the case. That was filed in the Ninth Circuit. And they were supposed to go into mediation with the DOJ and the city about or the city and the DOJ and the police association were supposed to go to mediation about how to resolve that issue. Does the judge have the right to call in the parties for an extra status conference? Instead, they used that to discuss the structure of the replacement of the COAB. So not only were those discussions happening behind closed doors, but they're happening in a confidential mediation session that's legally protected. So that's one more layer of you're not allowed to talk about what's going on in the community. We don't want your input. The AMA Coalition, again, this is not anything I'm revealing that's confidential. It's in the document, was not invited in until the very end of that process. So they were talking between March and July, and on July 14, 2 weeks before the rest of these documents were revealed, that's when the AMA Coalition first and last got a chance to look at the documents. So just to make sure the public understands, the AMA Coalition was not directly involved in the development of this PCCEP.
Okay, great. And I just want to add that, you know, this process in which these documents are released on such short order and such a short turnaround is being demanded is really in itself quite clearly designed to circumvent public input.
Right. And, you know, unfortunately, the city council process is like that all the time. They release their documents on a Friday and the testimony is usually on a Wednesday. Luckily, we have till a Thursday this time. In this case, though, given the scope of what's going on and the magnitude and how important it is to the community, it's very disappointing they didn't give us more time.
Right. And quite clearly, even if they are rushed on their end, one has to ask the question, why are they so rushed on their end? And why wasn't the timing more effective to have allowed for a reasonable window of time in which the public could review these documents and respond to them? So again, the hearing is coming up this Thursday at 3 p.m.?
August 3rd, yes.
All right.
At City Hall. And everybody should remember, too, that they have a bag check now at City Council. So if you want to not have to go through that security check, don't bring a bag with you.
Okay. So thank you so much, Dan. My guest today has been Dan Handelman with Portland Peace and Justice Works, Portland Cop Watch. Thanks, Dan, for speaking with me.
Sure.
And this has been Desiree Hellier for the Old Mole Variety Hour.